Hey everyone, welcome back to A Court of Tattoos and Rosé, where we go through and discuss all things romanticy with Madison and me, Blake. Lies, it's just me. It's just Blake. What's up? Yeah, it's just me today. Caitlin is being a good friend, and she was going to be on today. She's at a bachelorette weekend, and she's helping, clean up. We've all been there. We've all been there at the end of a bachelorette weekend. It's a rough time. It's a rough time. So she was like, hey, I can't be. And I was like, that's fine. I'll hop on solo. Maddie's busy today too. And I was like, you know what, guys, it's cool. It's cool. I got this. And then I couldn't record later because of work things. I know it's a Sunday. It's terrible. But so basically, long story short, you're stuck with me. I apologize. Anyways, okay. So this is going to be our 13th Crescent City episode. I'm going to do chapters 25 and 26 of House of Earth and Blood. 25 is like short, but I still has some poignant things in it. And then, 26, if you are remembering where we are, things, get heated, so to say. The drama blows up, some might say. I'm sorry, those were terrible jokes. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, nobody. I don't have Caitlin or Madison here to keep me in line with my terrible jokes. So you have to deal with it. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Anyways, you know this podcast. We curse, we spoil things, we talk about whatever the fuck we want. You literally are stuck with just me with no one to guide. So, I know we joke that I usually have to like control the chaos with Madison and Caitlin, but they also tend to keep me off of tangents. So we'll see how this goes. Before we hop in, recap. I mean, honestly, bottom line, Hunt's a dick. He was quick to judgment and then made really poor judgments, like judgment calls on his own, I guess is the best way to put it. They were at the temple, and then unfortunately, most likely, that led to a poor acolyte, getting offed in a very gross way. We're familiar with this lay this manner of death, we should say. And he drags Bryce to it. And it's not great. It's not a good idea. Oh, we also get, Jezebel has the Godslayer rifle and a nifty little bullet. I wonder if that'll come to play later. Ooh, but it does. And yeah, I mean the episode ends in a pretty bad bad place, essentially. Bryce is literally running away and going down memory lane, outside the White Raven. Just she's punishing herself. She's looking through the old photos, the messages, everything like that. It's tough to read because even like I guess we're what? About a third of the way into the book. You already like at least I did. You already care very deeply for Bryce as a character, so seeing her self-harm in this manner, it's hard to it's hard, and it just sucks. So chapter 25, we're back with Hunt, and it opens up. Hunt knew he'd fucked up, and you're like, oh good, he knows he fucked up with Bryce. Yes, but his first thought is not about how he fucked up with Bryce. It is that he's in deep shit with Micah if Micah finds out. Oh yeah, that was the other thing. He wet slip. That's how he got in deeper shit with Bryce. He wet slipped that, Bryce casually saved the governor in an alley. Which I know the shock of it is crazy, but I feel like I pretty quickly would have been like, what the fuck was the governor doing in an alleyway? But anyways, beside the point. And he just he makes it worse for me because he's worried more about Micah, which I can kind of see because Micah is like, well, literally his owner, which is disgusting. But he then goes on to be like, oh, maybe he'd bribe Quinlan with a pair of shoes or a purse or whatever's enticing enough to keep her mouth shut. Look, I'm a material girl. Okay, you guys know I love shopping. I love me some designer bags. I am a material girl. I will completely and totally own up to that. But I'm more than that. You know what I mean? Like it's still very hit, the way he's thinking of it is demeaning, I guess is the best way to put it. So Key was following Bryce as she literally like ran. She ran to keep from mauling him, which I feel like he doesn't appreciate enough, because she literally was about to attack him. So he just like monitors her. He's making sure she's not calling anyone because he's a little concerned. She's gonna like, you know, be like, "Oh, hey, Jezebel, guess what? I saved Micah." Which I still hold that Jezebel, like, I don't think she knew it was Micah, but I still hold that she like looked into this a lot more than we think, like from the get-go. But anyways, while he's trailing her, you know, he checks in with his team, Justinian. He checks in if there's any more info, and then Vic called. Basically, so they have no info on the Crystallis. Vic calls to say, "Hey, the Viper Queen's alibi is checked out." Vic just had to watch the Viper Queen's orgy videos, which I mean, there's worse things you could do, I guess. Depending on what went on in those orgies, I guess. I don't know. Isaiah called. Sure enough, the victim was in fact a missing acolyte. Barely more than a child. It was a fey girl, barely more than a child. And it's kind of getting clear, like they were just at the temple. So like what's it there's it's not a coincidence, basically. So that's not great. And then he's like, "Oh yeah, he'd fucked up." Like he'd fucked up. And Rune like had the right to call him on that, like for sure. He shouldn't have brought Bryce. He didn't think it through. And then we get him kind of realizing, like, wow. I'm an asshole. Like, it's genuinely not just an asshole for bringing her, but then if you recall, he also like let slip another one where he was like, "Oh yeah, and I'm sorry I ever thought you were a suspect." And like he's like, "Well, I'm an a like why would I have even like thought that she should be on my suspect list, let alone why did I tell her she's on my suspect?" Like, look, you guys know I love Hunt. I really do. I know a lot of people like aren't like he's not like one of their top SJM, and I really like Hunt. He is kind of hard to like until about halfway through this book, I would say. I'm still obviously intrigued by him, and also he sounds super fucking hot for sure, and he has his moments, but up until about halfway through the book, this sort of shit like is annoying. And then you guys know how I feel about Shahar, and of course he's like, if Shahar was here, she'd help, like she'd give him advice, and you know she'd listen to him as he like talks strategy. And then you know how I feel about Shahar, and I'm just like, fuck that and fuck her. I stand by that sentiment, period, for anyone that's wondering. But on the flip side, I just went off about how he's an asshole. On the flip side, we do, you know, he kind of hearkens in, and it's like a stark reminder that he is a slave. He has 2,000 plus kills that he has to make if he fails this assignment, and he's not in a good place either. So you do get kind of the stark reminder, like he's not, I don't know how to say, he's not in control of his own life, and that I think impacts a lot of how he deals with others, which to a certain degree is understandable, I will admit. At that point, Bryce gets a phone call, and she ch like changes course, ends up outside the White Raven. We know from the last chapter that she is literally standing there in the rain, looking at old messages and photos, basically like making herself cry, like pain, just incurring pain on purpose, self-harm through and through. He can't see what she's doing precisely, but he is checking his own phone because he's like, "Oh, maybe she's texting me." And he's like, "Oh my God, I'm so desperate." And I'm like, he's like, "You're not getting a text, bud. You're not." She walks into the club finally. We know that. Then, so this is kind of like the new information we're getting from the last chapter, like where it ended. He walks up and he's like, "Hey, I'm with Bryce." And they're like, "Okay, cool. Line's that way." And I love that these bouncers are like, there's no way they didn't know who he was, right? Like, there's no way, right? Like, he's got I hate to say it, but like the crown tattoo's pretty, the gray wings, I'm just his whole like getup. Either way, I think it's hilarious, and I think it's a fun reminder for him of like, you're not that hot of shit, bitch. Anyways, so he like goes to fish out his badge, and he's like, "Oh my God, whatever. Like, I'm here on official." And a waitress pops out, and hey, they're like, "Hey, Rizzo says he's good." So, he kind of just like this bouncer holds Hunt's stare, which again, bold strategy. And Hunt's just like smirks and it's like another time. So he walks in, the scent of sex and booze and sweats hits him pretty hard. Such a good time, just saying. This the White Raven sounds so fucking cool. thus at the end of this chapter, it kind of sucks, you know. Well, I mean, it really sucks for a multitude of reasons, but you know what I mean. He'd never been to the club. If they ever had to go there for any type of Legion business, he sent someone else. He was like, no, thank you. But he also, it makes him think of, like, the country villas of the Pangeran archangels, where there would, like, feasts turn to, like, orgies and, like, you know, mere steps from these villas. Humans were starving. Other Vanir were starving. It makes me think of the way he describes, like, how Pangaea, like, the villas and the style and how they're still kind of stuck in the old architecture, and then also just the social and political, like, hierarchies, how they are over there. It makes, in economical hierarchies, it makes me think of Sparta. Was it called Sparta or Spartan? Sparta? What was that on? Spartacus. I had part of it. Spartacus? Did anybody watch Spartacus? On, what was it on? Hold, please. What the fuck was this on? It was on, like, Showtime? HBO? Stars. Wow, I was naming all of them and not the one I needed. It reminds me of Spartacus. I don't know if anybody ever watched that show. Now that I've said it, I kind of want to rewatch it because I really like Spartacus. I genuinely really, really like that. But that's what the vibe reminds me of. Don't mind me later tonight as I'm trying to find Spartacus to watch. / checking if I have Stars. I don't think I do. Oh, well, we'll figure it out. Anyways, that's what it reminds me of. Every single time I reread this, I'm always like, oh, yes, it literally is like the parties that, like, the elites would throw. Just saying. Not good is what I'm saying. Not good for most people, and it should not be that way. So, lo and behold, he walks up, he finds Bryce, notices she's drinking something clear. He automatically is like, either gin or vodka, but he's like, I can't make it out. There's too many scents. All right, bitch. How did you get in? And he's just like, it's a public place. She just ignores him. And then he's trying to, like, sit down in the booth. And then he gets this beautiful scent of jasmine and vanilla. Jasmine and vanilla together are one of my favorite scent combos. Just FYI, if you ever, I don't know, want to send me a candle. I don't know. Just fun fact, jasmine and vanilla is, like, a fantastic combo to me. Anyways, he's about to just, like, butt in and sit down. And he just hears, excuse me, sir. And he literally looks down because she is quite short. To a lovely fawn dressed in a white tank top and a skirt short enough to show off her long striped legs and delicate hooves. I wish Caitlin was here because Caitlin gets so confused and it's, like, unsettling to her to try to comprehend what a fawn looks like, and it cracks me up every time. It's like her brain can't, like, comprehend it. Like, she even in the Chronicles of Narnia, I think we've talked about it, she's always just like, it's just, I don't understand. Like, it's just crazy to me, and it just makes me giggle. Anyways, she's got gently arcing, like, horns. She's got curly hair. She's got it back into a cute little bun. She's got brown skin that's dusted with gold, and it, like, flickers in the lights. And he literally is like, God, she was beautiful. And lo and behold, it's Juniper. Juniper is literally gorgeous. So pretty. The fan art of Juniper. She's, like, I almost said otherworldly pretty, and then I'm like, well, I mean, she's from a fictional world, but you know what I mean? Like, it's, like, next level pretty. And he's like, oh yeah, Juniper, okay, because he had read Bryce's file, right? And she's just, like, looking between Hunt and Bryce and was like, am I interrupting? Like, what are we doing? And Bryce is like, no, he's leaving. She drains his glass. And he's like, oh, actually, I'm just arriving. He extends a hand. He's like, I'm, like, nice to meet you. I'm Hunt. And she just goes, I know who you are. She's got, like, a husky voice. God, Juniper's perfect. So Juniper just got there, essentially. So she's like, to Bryce, she's like, did you get food? Like, rehearsal just let out. I'm starving. And Bryce holds up her glass that she just refilled and was like, I'm having a liquid dinner. And Juniper just frowns and she's like, do you want food? To Hunt? She's so nice. And he's like, hell yes. And she's like, okay, like, you just order whatever. They'll get it for you. Like, it's essentially, there's, like, not a set menu, basically. Like, they just, like, get it for you, which, honestly, well, I don't know. I was gonna say that'd be pretty cool to go to a restaurant like that. But then I remembered that I suck at making decisions even when there's a menu to choose from. I don't, that'd be, it'd either be really, really nice, or I would, like, go into executive dysfunction, like, paralysis, essentially, and be like, either, like, in this context, I'm going to say it's cool, because I'm not having to decide. How about that? So, I love this. You know, she just came from rehearsal. Ballet dancing, I never personally took ballet, but I had friends that did. Athletes to the extreme. That shit is, I mean, again, haven't done it, but just, like, watching and then knowing what they train and everything, that shit's insanely hard. Like, holy shit, you're burning a lot of calories. So, and I love this. She's very specific. I love it. I love it. I'll have a veggie burger, no cheese, with a side of fries, vegetable oil only to cook them, and 2 pieces of pizza, plant-based cheese on it, please. That is so specific, and I love it. Not just because of the, like, vegan aspect, but, like, she knew exactly what she wanted, and she was very concise. Also, sounds delicious. And then she looks at Hunt. She's like, oh, I don't eat, like, animal products. And it was like, yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. But then Hunt, after being an asshole, pulls this out. And you're like, oh, well, that's very kind of him. And he's like, do you mind if I do? So we find out he had fought with alongside Fonz. And he knows, like, to him, it's respectful to ask. And she, even Juniper, kind of, like, blinks for a second. And she's like, oh, no, like, you know, you're good. So he, of course, goes bone-in ribeye, roasted green beans. Roasted green beans sound really good. And then he looks to Bryce, and she's still guzzling what he thinks is booze, like a protein shake, which I don't know what that means, unless he's, like, just referring to the fact that she was going to have it as a meal. Which also, guys, protein shakes are really good, but you should have other things. Don't just have a protein shake. You need a full meal. I'm just throwing it out there. And that's when he thinks, like, she hadn't eaten today. She hadn't had breakfast. Even though he wasn't distracted enough to notice or to not notice that, even though she came out, she literally was fucking with him again, where she had, like, a lacy hot pink bra and matching underwear. And she just, like, walked through the apartment to the living room from her bedroom and, like, into the kitchen. So that she's fucking with him again, which I think is hilarious. And then he does what, you know, it's good intentions, bad delivery, which is his motto, although a lot of the times he doesn't have any intentions because he doesn't think it through. But anyways, and he orders her lamb kofta with rice, roasted chickpeas, and pickles on the side. Again, that's such a good order. I should have had lunch. I'm realizing that now. I haven't eaten lunch yet, and I'm really hungry, and this is making it worse. So he had picked up on, this was one of her pretty regular, like, lunch orders. So I was like, oh, that's nice. And Juniper immediately knows. She's like, oh, you fucked up. So Bryce is like, oh, are you going to cut my food too? And he's like, what? Just because you're some big, tough asshole doesn't mean you get the right to decide what I should eat or when. I'm not taking care of my body. I'm the one who lives in it. I know when I fucking want to eat. So keep your possessive, aggressive bullshit to yourself. And Juniper's like, long day at work, Bryce? Because, again, she doesn't know what just, like, where Bryce just came from. Hunt grabs her wrist when she goes to grab her drink. Don't be such a cliche, like, you know, because she's like, get off me. You have a rough day and you come to drown yourself in vodka. And then he lifts it to his lips. At least tell me you have good taste in. And then he sniffs it and tastes it. This is water. She just goes, I don't drink. Think of, again, we're only a third of the way into this book. Think of how many times already Hunt has just assumed when she's drinking something, it's alcohol, or when she goes out that she's getting wasted, or that she's just a party girl, and nothing, no alcohol, not a drop, just water. And Juniper does, like, Juniper doesn't, like, it bat an eye. So, like, Juniper already was like, oh yeah. And so Juniper cuts in. She's like, I invited Bryce. Like, she's trying to, like, just, like, you know, kind of make things good. She's like, oh, I invited Bryce. We haven't seen each other in a while. You know, like, rehearsal has been crazy and I had to be here, like, meet people here anyways. And I wanted Bryce to get out. And he just ignores her. And he goes, why don't you drink? And Bryce, you're the umbra mortis. I'm sure you can figure it out. Like, it does. If, like, seriously, Like, it's not hard. And then she goes, though, considering you thought I killed my best friend, maybe you can't. Now, remember, Juniper's hearing this. I'm going to the bathroom. And Juniper's like, I'll go with her. And they're walking across the dance floor. And they actually, like, as they're walking, these, of course, males are like looking and like, holy shit. And Juniper smiles and starts speaking and gesturing around them. And Bryce is just like cold faced. Like, Juniper's obviously trying to get her to be like, let's just, like go to the bathroom and then we'll dance. Like, it's cool. It's cool. And then Rune's there and he's like, oh, I like that she's pissed at you. It makes me look better. So Rune is there basically to say, like, look, I'm here because the owner of the Raven, don't they play like, oh yeah, they play poker together or whatever it was. And so like, he called Rune to be like, hey, Bryce looks pretty upset. Like, she's here. So like, they're looking out for Bryce, which of course Bryce would hate, obviously. And that's when he goes, she used to dance. Like, she, if she'd been able to, she would have gone into the ballet like Juniper. And Hunt's like, oh, like, I didn't know. Why'd she stop? And then he notes to himself, like, those facts had been like blips on her file, like just little side notes that, of course, he was like, oh, not important. And I'm like, maybe you should get to know her. Just saying. And that's when Rune's like, you'll have to ask her, but she did stop immediately after Danica's death. And Hunt's like, and drinking. And Hunt like kind of looks at the glass, and we, or Rune does, and we know Rune didn't know either, I'm pretty sure, but he masks his surprise. So I love this. Hunt took a sip of Bryce's water and shook his head. Not a party girl at all. Just content to let the world believe the worst of her, including him. Hunt rolled his shoulders, wings moving with him as he watched her on the dance floor. Yeah, he'd fucked up royally. Yep. Bryce looks over, then sees Rune. There were trenches of hell warmer than the look she gave Rune. Juniper sees where she's looking. Obviously, Juniper was probably going to be like, so just ignore them. Except Bryce takes one step towards the booth, in the club that I said sounded really cool and like really laid out, like cool, and it explodes. Yeah, it goes kaboom. Yeah. So, from Bryce's point of view, she of course saw Hunt and Rune talking, and she's like, "Those motherfuckers." So, she literally was stepping to go, give him peace of her mind. And then her ears hollowed out, the ground ripped from beneath her, the ceiling rained down, people screamed, blood sprayed, fear scented the air, and she was twisting, lunging for Juniper. Her immediate instinct was to protect her friend. I love her so goddamn much. She comes to, there's a shrill ringing in her ear. And she's like, oh, the world's on its side. And then she's like, oh, no, I'm just, I'm on the wrecked floor. Debris, shrapnel, and body parts are all around her. So there's that. That's gross. But Bryce stayed down. She is like arched over Juniper. Juniper's screaming. Not just screaming though. Like, you at first you're like, oh, she's like in shock. She's screaming words, I'm pretty sure at this point. And we'll see that in a second. But the shrill ringing wouldn't stop. She's got blood in her mouth. She's coated in plaster. And I just remember she's got fey hearing, and she's half fey, and so like fey that were there too. Like, I'm already thinking of like large, I guess is the best way, like big sounds I've been around. Like basic training, at like airports, if you're near like the runways where parking, like things like that. Like, those types of sounds can hurt your ears, and we're human, right? I cannot imagine how bad that would hurt with fey hearing. Like, that would have to like annihilate your eardrums, essentially, right? Like, being right there when it goes, that. I also cannot stand any type of ringing in my ear, so if I had that for any type of period, I would go a little bit crazy. So it's Hunt's voice that she does hear. He's like, get up. He's trying to get her up, but she thrashes against him. She wants to make sure Juniper's good. But Rune's there. He's helping Juniper stand. He's got a little bit of blood, but he's okay. So all four of them seem good for the most part. And Bryce literally does like a head-to-toe scan of Juniper. Not a scratch. She doesn't have a scratch on her. She's great. And I understand Juniper's anger here. I really do. I would probably be just as angry in the moment if I had a friend do this for me and we were in a similar situation. But I do think, and again, emotions are high. I mean, you literally just were in a bombing. But I also see where Bryce is coming from through and through. Like, not just because, as we hear, like, for Juniper's career, Bryce cannot lose anyone else. But Hunt's like, we got to get out. There could be more bombs. He, as a soldier, he's like, no, they usually, like, you could have a secondary bombing, everything. Juniper screams at Bryce, are you out of your mind? And Bryce is like, her ears are still ringing. So, like, she knows she's being screamed at, but it probably is, like, really distorted or whatever. And beautiful Juniper, our feisty little ballet dancer, just socks Bryce in the face. Just completely shabam. And she's sobbing, and she's like, I made the drop, Bryce, 2 years ago. You haven't. Have you completely lost it? So we find out that Juniper did make the drop. It would have been during kind of the period that we don't see. It was in the, like, kind of the flash forward of since the deaths, I'm pretty sure. And Hunt literally puts an arm around her, like, around Bryce's stomach to, like, keep her upright. And he's like, Juniper, she's shell-shocked. You have to give her, give it a rest. And Juniper's like, stay out of this. And that's when, like, June kind of seems to look around and realize, like, oh, yeah, that's fair. That's fair. People are screaming, dead people, body parts, blood, rubble, not great. And that's when Bryce is like, my body's not really working. Now, when I first saw that, I was like, shit, did her back get broken? Like, what's going on? But it's more like the shell shocked. So Rune gives them an address and is like, just go wait here. And Hunt's like, yeah, that's fine. I don't know if Bryce even, like, knows what's going on. He's carrying her. Rune, obviously, because he's with the, the city force. He's like, I gotta, like, figure this out. I'll be right there. So they find the house. It is the frat house. Here we go. A flick of the light switch revealed a grand staircase that looked like it'd been through a war zone, scuffed oak floors, and a crystal chandelier hanging precariously. Welcome to the frat house. There's a beer pong table. And he even notes, like, it's painted and it's, like, really well done, like the painting, showing the Fae male swallowing an angel whole, but it's really well done. So there's that. Which, fun fact, I don't know about anybody else. I have actually encountered this where, like, in, like, frat houses, like, they have, like, some, you know, like, painting that they did, but it's just of something, like, of a beer can or, like, a sports mascot or a sports logo or something, but, like, it's oddly well done. You know what I'm talking about? Where you're like, oh, arts and craft time went well. Okay. It's just a little, odd to see, I guess is the best way to put it. Especially when the rest of the, like, house is in, like, utter chaos and shambles. And Hunt's just like, I don't even care. So he puts Bryce on the couch. And he's like, okay, water. She needs water. And he's just like, what the hell? Like, that was a huge bomb. There hadn't been an attack since Briggs, which we know Briggs was apprehended by Danica. And then he was let out, you know, the day they died. And he had even thought, like, the bomb, it was so big and so quick. Like, even his lightning hadn't, he was going to try to use his lightning to, like, kind of, I don't know, contain it, I guess. I'm curious what he would have done. He'd, like, intercepted them with his power, but, like, I don't know if he just, like, contains it, or if he would have, like, let it explode in the air. I don't, like, in a contained space, I'm curious how it would have worked. But anyways, and that's when he's like, that was in the, like, that was pre-planned. Like, that was a full plan where it was placed and then detonated a certain time. And he's like, you know, his top of the list is Philip Briggs, but he's in, what do we call it? Adrestia? Come for me on it. It's fine. He's in a really bad prison. So he's like, well, maybe his followers. I don't know. And then, of course, he looks at Bryce and she's seemingly like she's shell-shocked, but she seems somewhat okay. There's a red mark on her cheek from Juniper. And so he's like, oh, let's deal with that at least. So he gets like an ice pack, wraps it in a towel, sets it on her face. He's like, she slugged you pretty damn good. Like he's trying to get her talking. And she like slowly looks at him. And that's when he sees there is dried blood inside her ears. So he finds first aid kit and he's trying to like help her. He's like cleaning out her ears. And he doesn't have magic. We know that from the beginning of the book when he healed her leg, but. Well, he didn't do a great job, but he kept her alive, you know? So, like, there's that. But he looks over. There's no other sign of blood or damage. And then, so he notices after he does her ears that her knees are pretty scraped. And he's like, okay. And that's when Bryce, like, he goes to, like, help those. And Bryce finally, at last, goes, Juniper stands a shot of being promoted to principal. The first Fawn ever. The summer season starts soon. She's an understudy for the main roles for two of the ballets, a soloist in all five of them. This season is crucial. If she got injured, it could interfere. And he's like, she made the drop. Like, she would have bounced back quickly. And she's like, still, like, and she's right, as we know, even just in House of Sky and Breath, like, unfortunately, Juniper does deal with a lot of prejudice, so she's not wrong. Like, they would have, even, like, being off for a week, they would have held it against her. So he starts literally just, like, pulling metal and stone from her knees. And he's, like, what I'm trying to say is, he did see what she did for Juniper, just to be clear. And he's, like, okay, he looks, there's, like, a healing solution. And he's like, oh, hey, like, I'm going to spray this. It's going to hurt, but it'll keep it from scarring. And she just kind of shrugs. And so, like, it's very clear she doesn't really, like, if it scars, it scars. Which he doesn't quite click with him yet. And so, of course, he sprays it. And I'm imagining, like when hydrogen peroxide hits a cut or something where it's like, oh, like it's that initial just like, son of a bitch. And that's when, because of how she had moved and clenched when it hurt, her dress had ridden up, and Hunt's like, okay, only look to assess for other injuries, you know, got to keep it cool. And when he looks, he sees the thick, angry scar on an otherwise sleek, unnervingly perfect thigh. Now, mind you, too, when he was carrying her to the house, he was like, oh, because when he like picked her up, muscle weighs more. He was like, oh, she's a little like denser, I guess. But I mean that like that sounds like a not nice, but it's nice where he's like, she has a lot more muscle than you think. And now he's looking at her thigh and everything. He's like, ooh, girl. And that's when he's like, son of a bitch. Every time he had seen her limping, it wasn't from her shoes. It was from him, where he just stapled her leg. I'm doing a rewatch of Grey's Anatomy. I've kind of mentioned it. It's like, I always think of when, what's his name, Owen first appears. Also, God, I loved him so much in the beginning. He was so hot. He has red hair. What do you expect? And then they just, like, character sabotage, man. Assassination there. He just became worse and worse and worse. Anyways, when he literally, like, staples his own leg. And then he's like, oh, I can't get this angle. And Yang's just like, oh, you're so hot. That's what it's given, but, you know, a different way. And he's, like, grimacing. So Bryce goes, when males are kneeling between my legs, Athlor, they're not usually grimacing. And he's like, what? Oh, God, sorry. And he literally was just like, sorry. And so she's just like, okay. Like, she thinks it's kind of funny, honestly. Like, she's used to the scar. Like, it doesn't faze her. It hurts her, but, like, the scar itself, she's not, you know, super, I would say, self-conscious of it to be, it really doesn't seem like it. So, and then she kind of calms down. She's like, who do you think did it? And he's like, I don't know, but, and then she's like, could it have to do with us looking into the case? And he's like, probably not. Like, it's easier to, like, shoot us, but then again, it is kind of weird. Like, but he even is like, it is weird that we were there. I'm just saying. So she's like, are we going to have war here? And he's like, I don't know. And they just kind of have like a really frank, like, look, some humans want us to, some veneer want us to, like, they want to get rid of the humans. The humans think the hierarchy is bullshit, which it is. And that's when she's like, I've seen the footage, like Pangaea, their entire like regions of Pangaea that are just utterly destroyed. And she kind of like an unspoken question of like, how bad, like, was it over there? Like, you know, like she's like in trying to get some more. And he's like, he just says magic and machines, never a good mix. Oof. And she's just like, I want to go home. I want to shower all this off. But then the front door opens. Of course, Han already has his gun out. It's Rune. It's his house. So we flash to Bryce's point of view, and she immediately, she wants to go home. Not actually, her first thoughts aren't because she wants to shower or cool down or, like, you know, just relax. It's to call Juniper to check on her, and then to call her mom and Randall to hear their voices, and to call Fury to see what Fury knows. And then she wanted to call Jezebel and make, see if Jezebel can get answers. And then she literally is like, mostly she just wanted to go home and shower. So it's like, she does want to go home and shower, but her main thoughts, like her initial thoughts, even though it's like mostly want to go home and shower, her initial thoughts are still about her loved ones. Which I mean, honestly, fair when you go through something like that. So, Rune goes immediately and has a drink and then just like takes a big deep breath. And so Hunt's like, so I assume you have information on who bombed it. And it looks like human rebels. So it was smuggled in. The bomb was like in a new exploding liquid, and it was in the delivery of wine. It's given, I guess it wouldn't look the same because that's pretty sus, you know, bright green liquid. But it's when Cersei blew up the Sept. Sorry, Game of Thrones spoiler, I guess. But, you know, that's been out for a while. Don't come at me, actually. That's, like, the liquid. That's what it makes me think of. Why am I blanking on the name? Hellfire? No. I don't know. Anyways, that's what it's making me think of. But, obviously, it wouldn't be, like, bright green because that would be kind of sus in a bottle of wine, I would think. So, Hunt's like, is it Briggs? Like, are they connected? And Rune's like, he's behind bars, which is not necessarily the best way to describe what's happening to him in prison. But, you know. But Bryce goes, the rest of his Kier's group, like his rebels, aren't. Like, Danica was the one that made the raid on Briggs. You know, he could still be kind of pulling the ropes somehow. Maybe he had instructions to his followers to carry out the bombings if he was ever caught. And Rune's like, I don't know. Like, I think they disbanded. But either way, whoever did this left a logo on the carts from the bomb. And at first it looked like a C for Crescent City, but it's a horn. It's a horn. And Bryce is like, why the fuck would the human rebels use the horn as a symbol? That's weird. And then she's like, oh shit, do you think it was a message to us to, like, stop looking? And Hunt's like, you know, it is, like, sus that we were there when it was bombed. It just, everything's really just sus. And so Bryce is like, maybe the group's coming back. Maybe they're gaining strength. Like, we got to figure this out. Maybe it was one of Briggs' followers all along. Maybe it wasn't Briggs that killed Danica, actually. But maybe one of his followers. We don't know. And he's like, we need to talk to him. And Rune's like, are you fucking nuts? And Hunt's just like, he's in the prison. Like, the request is going to take a few days. He literally ignores Rune and is just talking to Bryce. But we, like, the request is made. Like, we'll have to talk to him. And she's just like, all right. Cool. But it's gonna be tough for her, obviously. So he makes the request. While he's talking, Rune goes, the Autumn King knows I've involved you in looking for the horn. And she's like, how pissed is he? He warned me of the poison you'd spew in my ear. And she's like, oh, okay, I'll take this compliment, I guess. He wants to know what you'll do with the horn if it's found, and she's just like, new drinking mug. And he's like, no, but really. And she's like, okay, I'll give it back to the temple. Like, what the fuck? So then, because Bryce is now involved with it, the Autumn King has decreed that she needs, like, a volunteer bodyguard to live with her, and Rune volunteered, and she's like, absolutely fucking not. And Hunt joins back in. He's like, why does your king care if she lives or dies? And I'm like, oh, come on, buddy, put the pieces together here, come on. And Rue's just like, plays it well. He like goes cold and he's like, I asked the same thing. He said she's under his jurisdiction and it's a messy situation. The girl's liability is his direct quote. And I'm like, oh, okay. And Bryce just imagines, we get a little bit more information on the history here. Bryce just imagines like beating the shit out of her father's perfect, pretty face. And she wants to give him a scar similar to the one her mother bore along her cheekbone. It's small, slender, no longer than a fingernail, but it's a reminder of a blow that he'd given her when his hideous rage drove him too far. And that is the blow that sent Ember Quinlan, while pregnant with Bryce, running for the hills. Literally, honestly, like she's up in the like countryside hills and the foothills. But anyways, creep, old hateful creep. That's an understatement. Yeah. So Bryce is like, you know what? Fine. I need a guard. Cool. Didn't say it was just you. Or it had to be you. And Rune's like, She's like, all right, fine. Hunt will do it. And they're like, oh, the king won't like it. And she's like, oh, fuck off. Like, I don't care. And he didn't say. He should have been more specific. And Rune's like, oh, okay. That's actually right. Hunt doesn't blink an eye. Like, doesn't even faze him. He's like, okay, yeah, cool. So, but he does notice Hunt is looking between Rune and Bryce a bit carefully. You know, he's starting to try to put some, like, he knows, I think we said, like, already before, he knows it's, everything's not as it appears, I guess is the best way to put it. So he's, like, trying to be like, what is going on? And so Bryce is like, did you put him up to this, though? Because she knows Rune doesn't want to protect her. And he's like, no, like, he's got a network of spies. He's got his own people. So then Rune's phone goes off. It's the guys checking in. So Declan is like, what the fuck happened? Flynn's like, I'm at the club. Like, Sabine's here. Or Sabine sent Amelie, and Amelie said she saw you leave. Are you good? And he's like, yeah. I'm all good. Like, he's going to go back to the club soon, but he had to do this. So then that's when she asked Rune, like, why were you at the Raven earlier? And he's like, oh, I want to check out your boss's library. And she's like, what library? What are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about. And he's like, the one everybody says is beneath the gallery. And then Hunt joins in. First, I've heard of it. Fuck off, Athelar. And Bryce goes, well, I mean, there's a strict vetting process. You know, it's a full membership thing. And he's like, I want to look at the books, see if anything like jumps out. And goes on. He's been through the Fae archives twice. And he's like, there's got to be something at the gallery. And she's like, I searched it. There's nothing about the horn beyond vague mentions. And he's like, aha, so you admit there is a library. And he frowns. And she just kind of, like, gives him a look. And he's like, oh, no, I know that look. So he's like, what? And this is her proposition. I'll make a bargain with you. You can hunt for the horn at the gallery. I'll help you in whatever way I can. But you've got to put Declan at my disposal. Now, we know Declan is the tech god. He literally can hack into anything, essentially. And so he's like, well, I'd have to tell him about the case. And if he knows, you know Flynn's going to know 2 seconds later, which fair. She's like, that's fine. I need his intel, though. She wants it intel about Danica's last movements. So he'll have to hack into the den. And she's like, all right, cool. Yep. Get him on it tomorrow and you can come by the gallery tomorrow. So he's like, be careful out there. And then they're getting ready to leave. And she's like, also tell your daddy we say hello and that he can go fuck himself. Fair enough. So they leave and Rune's phone rings literally a heartbeat after that. Yeah. And he can hear his father tense. Is that how you speak to your king? Rune just ignores it, doesn't even reply. His father goes on. Since you couldn't stop yourself from revealing my business, I wish to make one thing clear regarding the horn. I don't want the angels getting it. One, rude tone. Check yourself. Two, why do you need to make that clear? Like, obviously, you literally went on and on about how, oh, it's the pride of the Fae. Oh, the Fae need the horn. What? Like, get fucked. And he's like, yep, fine, cool. keep an eye on that girl. Both eyes. I mean it, boy. So do I. And you know, like, the king does not like that Rune has, like, any type of, like, brotherly feelings towards, like, Bryce. He probably wished Rune hated her, honestly. And his father just keeps going on. He's posturing. You, as crown prince, revealed the secrets of your king to the girl in Athelar. I have every right to punish you for this. Rune, go ahead. go ahead and do it. This is in his head. Do me a favor and take my title while you're at it. The royal bloodline ends with me anyways. What? So, when Rune was 13, he went to the Oracle. You know, they all Fae go to the Oracle, and promptly puked afterwards. Normally, it's, you know, it foretells marriages and alliances. It had once been for that, and now it's like, you know, what career should you do? What are you going to amount to anything? But the Rune's visit was the royal bloodline. She'll end with you, Prince. And she just kept repeating it. That's all he got. And he even begged her, like, does that mean, like, he'd die before he could sire a child? Was he infernal? Like, you know, there's a wide array of what that could mean. As, you know, there's a lot of theories. But he couldn't tell his dad that. He was like, the Oracle said I would be a fair and just king. And his father was like, oh, wow, that's disappointing. And I'm like, oh, not as bad as, you know, what you would think if you heard the truth. So he was really worried about it, but it also made him, like, really, really worried with Bryce, too. And that's why he hadn't lobbied for his father to actually accept her so she'd be royalty, because then she wouldn't be part, technically, of the official royal bloodline. I think there's some gray area there, but, you know. And the king's just like, unfortunately, the punish you deserve would render you unable to look for the horn. And Rune, casually as can be, I'll take a rain check then. And then Rune hung up. The way Rune is so casual about all of it, really bad sign. Really bad sign. We know Rune went through some shit. Like, a lot. And you learn more about it, obviously, as the books go on. And it's just, I fucking hate the Autumn King. Long story short, the Autumn King's the worst. So that's that. You know, Hunt realizing he was an asshole, being more of an asshole. About to hopefully apologize. Club bows up. Juniper's mad. Bryce is like, well, I did what I did. And then a deal's made to, you know, they're still helping each other with their various quests. That's where we are. All right. Well, let's see. My currently reading. Let me get my Goodreads pulled up, even though, like, I should know this off the top of my head, but you guys know how I am. Okay. I've got to add. I finished The Everqueen by LJ Andrews. It's the Everseas number 2. I feel like I talked about this already, but I fucking loved it. Even if I did, I'm okay with saying it again because I fucking love that book. And then I read How Does It Feel? I Did Finish by Janine O'Reilly. It is our March book club book, so I'm very excited to talk about it. I finished that one. Definitely a mindfuck. Big, big trust issues throughout. I finished, Once Upon a Broken Heart by Stephanie Garber. I wanted to, the trilogy, like, to wrap up the trilogy had been on my list, but I was like, I need to reread the first book, because I'm gonna be real honest. When I first read the book, I was like, I feel like I'm, like, not comprehending some things. So, like, by the end of the book, I was like, I don't know why, but I feel like I missed something. So I just finished that. I did the audiobook. It's a really good audiobook. It was $7 on Audible. I'm not gonna question it. And then I started the audiobook for, what's the next one? A Ballad of Never After. So I'm like 10% into the audiobook of that. And then I am at like 95% of What Did You Do? Which is the sequel to Janine O'Reilly's How Does It Feel? It's the Infatuated Fae series. Apparently it's going to be 4 books. I'm not happy about that. Everybody that pulled me into reading this, cause the second one literally just came out like a week and a half ago. So, and I'm about to finish it. So that, I've been told that the end of this one is not, like, as crazy as the end of the first one, to where, like, I'm gonna be, like, super, super mad that I have to wait for books 3 and 4, but we'll see, because currently at 93% or whatever, shit is crazy, so I don't know how much I trust that. And then I also started, like, halfway through, A Soul to Heal by Opal Renee, I think is how you say, apologies if I'm not, it's the Duskwalker Brides. It's the second book in that series, and I really like the Duskwalkers. They're so cute. I think that's, yeah, Everqueen, How Does It Feel? What Did You Do? Once Upon a Broken Heart, Ballad of Never After, and A Soul to Heal. I think that's right, yeah. So I'm actually, like, I feel like I've been doing a bit better, with, my reading, which makes me happy, because you guys know, like, especially when work goes, like, blows up, I, like, tend to get screwed essentially out of reading time. And then let's see here. Okay, social media. ACOTR podcast, that's me. I'm everywhere. That sounded creepy, but you know what I mean. I'm hoping to start a new Baldur's Gate playthrough soon, and I'm going to be streaming that from the get-go, so I'm really excited about that one. But I'll let you guys know when all of that's going to start happening. And then Madison is Breathless Lit PA. She's literally everywhere as well, actually, now that I think about it. Literally everywhere. She also has her website that she, it's ready, but she hasn't like officially, announced it. So be on the lookout for that. And then as always, wanted to just, let everyone know with the Little Wicked Book Box, subscriptions are, closed for March's box, but you can still use my code, which is ACOTR podcast, for 10% off merch. And then that'll get you 10% off your first subscription as well. The merch is amazing. Literally, as I have been recording, I've seen snippets come up of some new merch that's going to be coming, and I'm very, very excited. But again, ACOTR podcast, that will get you 10% off merch. So be on the lookout for that. As far as Instagram and Patreon shoutouts go, I literally just wanted to say thank you, thank you, thank you from the bottom of my heart. I'm so grateful for all of the birthday wishes, the birthday gifts, everything. I this was such a good birthday this past, like this one was amazing. Not just from, you know, my husband and like close friends and family and everything like that, but everybody, like I felt so loved, and I'm so grateful. All of the sweet cards, the messages, sweet treats. My goodness, I think I'm finally coming out of a sugar coma from everything. Books were showing up left and right. I mean, it's just amazing. Like, thank you. You guys know how to make a girl feel special. and I'm not like great at accepting gifts. So it was a learning curve as well. But again, thank you. I said it before and I'll say it again. Like, I'm so grateful for this community and each and every one of you. So, you're all the best. I love it. Finally, book club. Our March book club, like I said, is How Does It Feel by Janine O'Reilly. We were going to have dates up today. I might still get them up on Patreon today, but I'm working with Mads and then Caitlin too to see, because I think she'd want to read. I think she'll like this book. I think. I want her to suffer with me, so I hope so. To see what dates will work best. We do have some travel at the end of the month, so it might be like early April, but we're looking into it. But we'll get those up as soon as possible. And then we'll be back this Thursday with a Thirsty Thursday episode. Quite excited. And I think that's all. If you stuck with me and my solo ramblings this long, thank you. I appreciate it. I appreciate you. And with that, I hope you have a great start to your week. And as always, cheers to our high fae bays. Bye.